Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wunstead here with us. So, Dave, help us with a discussion we were having earlier. We know we all saw what happened to Aiden Hutchinson. He's out. And then you look at, well, then who's the defensive player of the year? And we were talking about different guys on the Bears. And it would seem that Montez Sweat is not putting up the numbers that would get him any kind of consideration. And maybe quietly, Jalen Johnson is emerging as the best defensive player on the Bears, because the opponent's quarterback rating against is something like 20.8 against him. Now, they're not going to challenge him a ton. He's not going to be able to get a ton of picks. He's not going to be able to make a ton of wow plays because they've got an injury on the other side. And so, not surprisingly, opponents will go after the backup who is starting opposite him. I'm just curious, have you noticed him in his development? Is he getting better as a player? And can you tell? Because it seems like they're going after other players.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that Jalen is, but boy, you know, I don't know if guys vote for that because of what Pro Football Focus or somebody else says. You know, I think they're looking for numbers. You know, they're looking for sacks, they're looking for tackles for loss, they're looking for interceptions, they're looking at passes defended, and so I think in Jalen and Montez's standpoint, we know what they bring to the table for the Bears, and, you know, that's all they can control. That's all they can control. Go out every week and play at the highest level you can play at. And if the numbers come your way, fine. If they don't, and you're helping the team win and be one of the best defenses. Now, that is a fact that if you're playing on a top five, top 10 defense, that gets their attention, you know.
You could identify a lot of different players for having – in the midst of really strong seasons. Kyler Gordon is another one. And I wonder what you thought. His injury could be a factor if he misses any time. He was in the midst of having a terrific game.
Yeah.
And Dave, how they use him, how they deploy him, how often do they disguise where he is? Because he seems to be right place, right time. And also when he blitzes, it seems to be catching the opposing quarterback off guard more often than not. How do you explain the way that they're using him in the variety of ways?
Well, you know, the first play of the game, right? When he makes a tackle for loss on a running play, I don't want to say unusual, but it is somewhat unusual. Usually your nickel blitzes, and he's the nickel guy. He's generally, if they put three wide receivers in the game, he's the guy that lines up on that third receiver type. Now, depending on the formation, if they want to use him when there's two backs and a tight end, then he would line up to the weak side, away from the tight end, okay, and Edmonds and Edwards. So they, depending on the formation and the people that the offense uses, if they want Gordon in the game, they can line him up different spots. Now, the one thing that is a little bit unusual from their first question, David, is he makes the tackle on the running play. To run nickel blitzes against the run in a run situation is somewhat unusual. And I'm going to give Eric Washington, the coordinator, and give Flus credit that they obviously had a real good tendency. When they line up, you know, in this area, they could have called it, or it could have just been a sight blitz. We would have those. Hey, if they line up with that back offset one way or another, you blitz.
Yeah.
It's about 80% that they're going to run the ball weak side. So Gordon's experienced enough that he can do those things. And it is unusual that on first down, you're bringing your nickel back and he makes a tackle for loss. I mean, that's great X and O information coming from the coaches to the players.
Dave, you've often talked about closers, and who are the closers? The closers are the corners. The closers are the pass rushers. Obviously, both are very valuable positions in the NFL. Is pass rusher the most valuable, just given the amount of money those guys make, versus corners who still get paid a lot of dough? I'm just curious, if you had your preference, which would you have to take?
Yeah, on defense, definitely a pass rusher, just because if the quarterback doesn't feel threatened, when I say threatened, feel like every time he drops back, he's going to get hit in the mouth, then this, I don't, the NFL quarterbacks are too good. They're going to pick you apart.
Right.
So they got to have that in the back of their mind. I've got to get this ball out in two and a half, 3 seconds, whatever it might be. The thing that I look at with the Bears, the, you know, the Bears have done a, they got a variety of guys. You know, there's, yeah, Montez Sweat, yes. Okay, we know that. But I mean, Taylor, I mean, you, I could get on the list. Dexter's becoming a threat. You know, now you got three, four guys,
yes,
five guys that, depending who's rotating in, you got to block them. You know, I don't know if one would be dominant, that we got to slide the protection to Montez Sweat, or we got to slide the protection to player X. You know, I don't know if there's the
Marcus Walker's got some sacks.
Yeah, there's not the Aaron Donald where you sit down in my mind and say, how does our game plan start? Well, we better block him. If we don't block him, we won't win.
Right.
I don't think there's that going on, but I'll tell you what, the rest of this Bears defense has really stepped up from the standpoint that they've got a group of guys that are capable of getting to the quarterback depending on the matchup.
Caleb Williams effective again running the ball, but he also, four touchdown passes, showed accuracy that illustrated just how special his arm talent is, Dave. Continues to make strides. What do you think made him turn the corner so far?
You hit it right on the head there. The thing that I saw different in this game as compared to some of the earlier games, he made throws, in accurate throws, into tight coverage for completions that he did not do earlier. You know, the third down throw to Keenan Allen over the middle. You throw that 6 inches to the right, 6 inches to the left, it's incomplete or intercepted, and he put it in the money. You know, the play that Keenan scored on, the touchdown, down the middle of the field in the end zone.
Back shoulder.
That was a very similar play to the one that Komet scored on.
Yes.
And by that, I mean they lined up in kind of a bunch formation with guys together, and they ran a pick play, to keep it simple.
Yes.
They, you know, one guy's in, one guy's out, one guy's down the middle. Okay. So they run it, and Komet's wide open. Two guys covered one. They got him. They come back and run a similar play, okay, and guess what Jacksonville did? They zoned it off, which is smart. So now they pass everything off. You got outside, I got deep, I've got the inside. We would always, the minute we got a bunch formation, I don't care if I was in a blitz, I wasn't going to stay in the blitz because you're going to get picked. So we would go right away to a zone kick coverage, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's what they did. So if you drew that up, you'd probably say the throw is to the flat. It's not a great one, but hit Komet out there in the flat, make 3 yards. The throw that he threw to Keenan down the middle of the field with a guy underneath him in the back of the end zone on the back shoulder, wow, that was fantastic. I mean, that was really an exceptional throw by Caleb. It really was. I had an appreciation. I ran that back and ran it back and said, this is, that would not be the first guy that you probably circled.
Is he getting better? Do you see that, Dave? I mean, we notice the numbers, and we see the problem is when you're trying to determine if it's the 31st or the 32nd passing defense he's against, is he getting better? It would seem so. Even I thought the design of the play, the touchdown play to the tight end was exceptional.
Yeah.
Where you fake the pass, no, you're going to run, and then boom.
Yeah, that's all on him. You know, any time that there's a successful screen type of play like that, it all comes back to the quarterback. The quarterback has to set it up. You know, in other words, if we're going to run a little tight end screen or whatever, if Caleb would have dropped right back and starts looking at Komet from the very beginning, they would have covered him. They would have covered him. But it was a great design, Molly, right? The lineman released both ways. He looks to the left. You know, he looks to the right. The linebackers, the whole middle of the field parts. And again, let's go back to this. That play is only a good play if the defense is going to be in a two deep where the safeties have to split. If they're in a single high, that's not a good play. But in that area of the field, a lot of teams will run too deep. And it was really a lack of respect. They're saying, you know what, we're going to take away DJ Moore and your outside receivers, but we're going to give you the middle of the field. Go ahead, throw to Komet. And it was a great design play.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt is sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business. So what did you make of the revelation that the Bears did not start scripting the first 15 plays until the leadership committee led by Mercedes Lewis, including Caleb Williams, approached Shane Waldron after the Colts game?
Yeah, I did not realize that. And that kind of surprised me, you know, because I tell you what, I make one point, I'm coming right back to that. This was the most exciting thing other than the win for me. 29 runs, 29 passes. Yeah. You want to know why Caleb is being more efficient in this passing game?
Balance,
people. That's the key here in the NFL. Back to your question about scripting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my experience, you know, all the guys did it, and they would come up with the first three, four plays, not Saturday. They might come up with those plays Wednesday, saying we're going to start with this, and then we're the first third down, we're going to throw this, and the first third and long, we're going to throw this. And that quarterback would work on it every day, and he would be digesting it and digesting it and digesting it every way you could. And the offensive line knew, hey, if this guy blitzes, it's going to be 50 protection or it's going to be six, whatever. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised because it's a real comfort zone for your players knowing what you're going to do. You know, it's just like having a rundown here. You guys talk about here's the plan, this is what we're going to do on the show. It makes my job a lot easier knowing what to expect.
Well, I think that talking to Olin about it, he explained how he would take those plays and then he would go to work on his own and he would break down tape and try to figure out what they have done in those situations before, and then maybe he would have a conversation with the offensive line coach or with the coordinator about what that meant. And then by the time you got to the game, you know what you're expecting and what you're looking for. And then on the sideline, you're like, hey, they're not doing this. Have you noticed they're doing this? And that allows you to adjust and get different plays in as well.
And for players who believe in visualization, as Kurt Warner elaborated, the playoff.
What did he say? He liked it?
Oh, he liked it because Mike Martz told him during a playoff game, this is what we're going to run, and he started rehearsing it in his mind and going through all the scenarios on Friday through Saturday, and then he opened up the game with like a 75-yard touchdown pass to Isaac Bruce, I think it was the story. So it was something that I think caught a lot of people off guard. It might be a matter of semantics. Mm-hmm. Lucy came back and talked about openers and things that they were generally ready for. It just is interesting that we know as much as we know, thanks to the Mercedes Lewis news service.
Big dog. Big dog was barking.
Absolutely. No, that's good. And, you know, we won the penalties. We won the run game, the turnovers. I mean, all the things that people don't talk about.
They had two penalties. They had a penalty before the game started, for God's sake.
Pre-kickoff.
And they wound up with 2 for 10 yards.
That gives you a chance. Why is the penalty so good? Is because it doesn't put your quarterback in a bind, you know? I mean, right away you're thinking you're going to have a third down and 3, and now it's third down and 7. That's a completely different call. And I'll tell you what, Caleb, you mentioned David Caleb running for, 50-some yards or whatever?
Oh, yeah, that was great. That's
another thing that if I'm defending the Bears right now, you got DJ Moore and you got the receivers. The run game, you know, a little bit. I mean, you know, I think they're using Swift better. Yeah. You notice they're not banging him up inside anymore. It's more perimeter runs, which he is excellent at.
Read and react.
And then, but now there's the threat that if we don't have a penalty and it's third and 12, and it is third and 5, now all of a sudden your quarterback is a threat to tuck that ball and run for the first down. That adds a whole nother stress level for defensive coordinators defending the Bears.
You ever lose your long snapper during the game?
I did not. I've lost kickers and warm-ups, but in fact, not the long snapper. And you know what? I wasn't worried about the extra points. The punts could be something that—
And they never had a punt.
Never had a punt. If the ball's wet, if it's windy— But Wes Welker, I'll give you a stat. I think he was the
emergency kicker.
He was our receiver. We signed him. Rick Spielman, we signed him. He was Olindo Mari was our kicker, and he got hurt some damn how. I still don't know how. I couldn't get a straight answer. But he got hurt in warm-ups. So I called the team up, and I says, can anybody here kick? This was like before the opening kickoff. And Wes Welker put his hand up, and who's now coaching for the Dolphins, by the way, and said, Coach, I can kick. I says, you're the kicker. Let's go. Get him set up. So he kicked off. He kicked an extra point. I think he kicked a field goal in the game.
Yeah, he was an emergency kicker in his career. So Olin said something really stayed with me. He said that at one point they were trying to run a cadence to get the opponent to jump off sides. And he loved the fact it didn't work. Everybody knew he was running a cadence to get him off sides. But he loved the fact that cadence had been one of the things we were talking about with him, that he hadn't done it and he had to develop it. And he was out there selling it. And he goes up to the line and then he's selling it again. And it didn't work, obviously.
Right.
But the idea that he's trying and that he's committed enough to try to sell something that was considered a weakness of his just talks to maybe the little elements, the tiny things that you need someone to work on, the commitment that the player has to being great.
Yeah, and I would say this too. It's just like running a punt. We would want to run a fake punt early because now you knew that early in the season or even the preseason, so that the opponent knew you'd do it and knew you had it. You know, we do the hard count. I guarantee you now we get in that situation that defensive guys now are saying, hey, Caleb, they got the hard count. Sit in there. So by doing that, even though it didn't work.
You might buy yourself a little something
just
down the line.
Yeah, piggyback what Olin's saying. Yeah. I mean, it's there's more to it. You know, there's some advantages to showing that you have it, even though it didn't work.
So you're the head coach of a 4-2 team going into a bye week, riding a 3-game winning streak. You've got momentum. You want to keep it alive. What's your approach this off week? What do you have to get done from the head coach's perspective?
You'd be running inside run drill.
I'd say somehow we're going to run 36 power. I don't know, you know, who wants to do it, but we're going to run it. So Olin, get ready. Let's go. You know what? I would look at it and look at situations. The Bears were 4-for-4 in the red zone, you know, but there's been times they struggled. You know, what do we really situation-wise need to work on? I mean, they were okay in third down. What were they third down? I was looking at that this morning. I mean, we were, 5-for-11? That was very good, obviously 45%. You know, is it third down? The point I'm trying to make is it third and long? Is it third and short? I would go through with myself, Scott, and look at everything situation-wise, and I wouldn't worry about big picture running team plays, you know, against Washington right now. I would pull out three, four situations on offense and defense and say, you know what, we're going to have a couple good periods of this because this is the focus, and put it on the board and show the guys. You know, right now, guys, our red zone stuff, we're in the bottom half of the league. As an example, we might be, I don't know what the stats are, or you know, third down and long, or third, whatever it is. And we need to improve these areas. That's going to be the focus this week. And the players will buy into that because they'll see it on the board, black and white. Here it is. Oh, boy, yeah, I thought we were better than that, Coach. No, we're really not. That's our focus, and let's get something done this week and get better.
Great stuff. Coach, thank you. A lot of fun. Really appreciate it.
Great to see you, Dave.
All right, guys.